Hi, everyone. We are actually starting the seventh chapter of Perek Zayin, seventh chapter of Megillas Esther. So let's do a quick recap. Last time we discovered the sixth chapter where that night, Balayla Unod Dashnas HaMelech, that night the king, his sleep is disturbed and he wakes up. And then we have this whole story of Haman who thought the king was saying, like, how do I reward somebody I want to honor? The king was paranoid. Strange things are happening. Esther's come in. Esther's wanting a party with Haman. He's, for different reasons, paranoid about both of them. Esther, he can't figure out who she is and what she's all about. Haman, because he's got the sense that this guy would like to usurp him, or at least he's getting too powerful. And they're suddenly having the party together with him. He's panicked. Is there a conspiracy? And so he says, okay, well, why are people not telling me if there's a conspiracy? Somebody should inform me. Maybe I don't reward people well enough. Opens the Book of Chronicles, discovers Mordechai hasn't been rewarded for saving his life. Who's outside? Haman's outside, right? And then sets up Haman and says, how should we honor the one who has to be rewarded? Haman comes in, sets himself up for disaster. He thinks, oh, I'll put the royal clothes on and so on, have somebody senior schlep him around town. Of course, the king says, go and do the same thing. You do that for Mordechai. Mordechai goes back to the king's gate after all this is finished. And this, he said, is very thematic. He doesn't know where he is in history and he doesn't need to. I've done what I need to do. Let's go back. We need to be crying. We need to be mourning. We need to be praying. We don't know. The Jewish people haven't been saved. I had a very nice episode, but I don't see yet if this shifts the story or not. I don't know. And that's all the way through. Mordechai, I don't know. Who knows if you became queen for this reason? And Esther doesn't have a plan, as we saw earlier through the Gemara. But Haman has it all figured out. This must be his downfall. And we asked last time why. It's a beautiful story. It's a lot of fun to hear. But how does it impact the narrative? When all is said and done, there's still a decree to kill all the Jewish people. Nobody's found a way out of it. Esther hasn't worked out how to solve the problem. What's going to happen in this chapter seemingly would happen either way. And we suggested last time that one element is that Haman is now in a state of mind where he thinks he's going to fail. And that's going to play a role in the story. So let's start now the seventh chapter. It's a short chapter. I apologize, I had to start late today, so I'm sorry to all of you. And I'm not going to be able to be as long as usual, but hopefully we'll cover some of the major principles. Like, I always apologize. There is so much more to say about the Megillah. But Be'ez Hashem, hopefully we do enough to give a beautiful structure or reveal some of the beauty of the structure. The king and Haman come to drink with Esther, the queen. Now, even in this simple pasuk are a number of nuances. They're not obviously there before. Again, I have to share with you that some of these things we'll see come from Gemaras. I'm trying to always quote when they do, some from Midrashim, some from the Vilna Gaon, some from the Malbim, some come from old Shurim I used to go to by Rabbi Weinberg in the Old City. I think it was him, but I don't remember whether it's a Gemara that points out. I don't think it's in the Gemara, actually, no. But if there's a Midrash somewhere, I don't know. But he points out that a few things. Lishta, first of all, last time, it didn't say they came to drink with the queen. If you remember, she says, I'd like to invite you both to the mishta, to the drinking party that I'm making. That was in the fifth chapter. And the king immediately tells Haman he's got to come, right? And vayova melech v'haman ala mishta she'osa Esther. In Perikei, in chapter 5, in Pasuk 5, hey, 5-5, they came to the drinking fest. And the king said to Esther in the drinking, right? So she's drinking, but we don't see they're drinking with her, right? Now, usually when something is with the word im in Hebrew, with, it means they're aligned now. Some kind of alignment is happening. But the second point to notice is with Esther Hamalka, the Esther, the queen. But now look at how the king refers to her. So officially it's the queen's party and they're in, they've kind of got comfortable with the idea that they want to join with her. But vayoyma melech le'Esther, he doesn't talk to Esther, the queen. For him, remember, even though at that key moment, Vatilabesh Esther Malchus, she wore royalty, something inspired the king. Generally speaking, he formally treats her like the queen, right? Coming to the drinking party with Esther, the queen, the queen's party. But personally, he doesn't treat her like a queen. He doesn't respect her in that way. See, he says to Esther, he talks to Esther, this hidden. That's what the word Esther means, this hidden person. Gamba Yomasheni, also on the second day, Bemishta Yain, in the drinking feast. Ma Sheila Seich Esther Malka. What is your request, O Esther the Queen? He says Esther the Queen, but he doesn't treat her that way. So formally, officially, and everything with Ahasuerus we've seen all the way through, the official language, the official ceremonial courtesy, the official is always one thing, and what's really going on is something else. Oh, Esther the Queen, you know, what is your personal request? What is your personal request? Oh, Esther the Queen, Vetinasinach will be given to you. What's your agenda? Up to half the kingship. Something we've seen before. Always his fear that someone's going to try and take over the majority. And a deep subconscious fear of, is it going to be this rebuilding of Jerusalem? Conscious or not, you know, he's always that sort of Gemara says, Dava Chaitza Malchus, something that would really split the whole kingship in half. But one way or the other, he's putting a limit on what he can give her agenda. Anything that's about you personally, and up to half the Malchus, up to half the kingship, the empire, as your national agenda. Atan Esther Hamalka. And now it's not Esther who replies, it's Esther Hamalka. There's something essential about her as the queen. So she's not replying as Esther the person, she's replying as Esther Hamalka. And again, these are things he won't be conscious of, but are clearly happening. Just like Vatilabesh Esther Malchus, she wore royalty because she is royalty. She is in her essence Esther Hamalka, Esther the queen, because she is the great-great-granddaughter of Shalamelech, a king whose kingship long outstrips either Haman's ancestry, royal ancestry, or Ahasuerus's, or even the Babylonians who came before. This is real royalty, right? This is the real thing. But Toimar, and she says, "In matzasi chen beinecha melech, if I have found favor in your eyes, O king." So that's, I hope you know. Ve'im ala melech toiv, and if it is good for the king. Now that phrase seems redundant. Is it like, who cares whether it's good for the king? She's about to say, save my life. Tinos, right, Tinos and Li, give to me nafshi, my life. You asked my personal request. Vashelosi, my personal request, my life. Va'ami, and you asked my agenda, my people. Vavakoshosi, that's my agenda. So why did she ask the words, im alamen of tov, if it's good for the king? You could say it's just a way of talking. You know, if I found favor in your eyes, please save me. If I found favor in your eyes, and if it's good for the king, it will turn out that was not just kind of a rhetorical device. Listen to what she says next. Kinim karnu aniva ami, for we have been sold, I and my people, lahashmid, to be destroyed, laharag, to be killed, or laabedin, to be obliterated. And that should be where she stops. But now she carries on and seems to invite disaster. Had we been sold as slaves, male slaves and female slaves, I'd be silent. Because the adversary is not worth it, the damage to the king. And you think, Esther, have you gone mad? Why are you offering to be slaves? Right? She's saying, part of what bothers me, O king, is it's not worth it for you. Had they told us that we're going, had the decree been put us into slavery, I'd be quiet because whoever's manipulating this is at least doing it for your good. But I don't want what's good for me, O King Ahasuerus. I want what's good for you. Imala Melech Tov has to be good for you. Why is she doing this? Do you know what a risk she was just taking? I mean, at this point, Haman could have turned around and gone, whoa, I never realized she's Jewish. Let's compromise. Let's do what she's saying. Instead of the death decree, let's forget that one. Make them slaves. Or Ahasuerus himself might have said that. She'd just given him the greatest get-out clause. I never realized you're Jewish. I wouldn't have signed the decree. I wouldn't have let Haman do this. Let's compromise, go for slavery. Why would she do that? Put the whole Jewish people into slavery? First go for, you know, start your negotiation by asking for your life. If that doesn't work, have it as a fallback position. But she says, no, I would actually be quiet. This is, if you want to go for it, what's she doing? Why is she risking everything? I mean, put us back into Egypt, back into slavery. Yes, we live physically, but that's the end of the Jewish people. Why is she offering such a thing? And it's clearly deliberate. Vayoma Melech Achashverosh, and of course Achashverosh says, as is his wont, Vayoma Esther Malka, and he says, and now he is talking to Esther the queen. Right? Formerly he was saying the words, oh, Esther the queen, but he was talking to Esther, somebody he didn't respect. But something's clicked inside him. He's felt her Esther the Malka, Esther the queen. Remember, until now, she's never requested anything. Until now, she has always been ultra passive. Suddenly she's coming forth and suddenly he sees something in her. He doesn't know what it is, but he feels like he's talking to a queen over here. Something is royal about this woman, and he felt it in her once before when she walked in front of him in the palace and he raised the scepter. However much his brain was trying to say, no, 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 something made him do it. Vatilobish Esther Malchus, she had worn royalty. So something's doing this. But he, by Yoimel Esther Malchus, says, Miuzevezo, whoa. Who could this possibly be? This is preposterous. I've never heard of such a ridiculous thing. This is terrible. Hashemila Libola says Cain, who fills his heart to do such a thing. Now, of course, Ahasuerus knew exactly what it was. How many days before had it been that Haman had come with the proposal? He'd debated and discussed it and then given the ring and said, do what you want. And fully knowing these laws are going to go out, the royal laws have gone out with his own signatory, signet ring, with his signature effectively. Of course he knew, but this is Achashverosh. This is Achashverosh where everything is facade and everything is illusion. Nothing is real. Everything is fake. And that's what he's carrying on over here. Fake, fake, fake. Everything pretend. I've never, that was the whole thing. Remember, why did he give Haman the ring? Because he said plausible deniability. I can't say yes. I just, you do what you want, right? I must be able to deny this if it creates any problems. And that's what he's doing. I've never heard of this. This is ludicrous. And this is Esther's moment to turn around and say, I know you've never heard of this, Achashverosh. It's Haman. But listen to how she actually says it. Vatoyma Esther, and Esther says, Ish, the man, Tsar, the adversary, Va'oyev, and the enemy, Haman Harahazeh, is this evil Haman. Why does she take so long to get to the point? You know the Gemara says is going on over here? She was looking him in the eye. She wanted him to stew. Ish, the man, she says, looking him straight in the eye. Tsar, the adversary, the oyev, and the enemy. She's wanting Achashverosh to sweat, as if to say, do you not think I know that it's you? Oh, it's Haman Harahazeh. It's this evil Haman. In fact, the Gemara says that Malach had to come and give him a slap on the face, which means quickly change, give Esther, sorry, a slap on the face. Quickly, Esther, boom. Haman Harahazeh, this evil Haman. What's she doing? Her whole tactics here seem to be very strange. First of all, she seems to offer him a terrible get-out clause, make us all slaves. She even introduced it by saying it has to be good for the king, not good for her. Then she says, if you'd made the slaves, I'd be quiet. And now she's looking him in the eye. Play along with his facade. Let him get away with it and make him the good guy and Haman the bad guy. By the way, interestingly enough, Haman Harahazeh, this evil Haman, it's the first time in the Megillah that somebody has been described as evil. Until now, some of the most atrocious evil things have been happening. Genocide, right? Haman has made a genocidal decree to kill the Jewish people. Nobody's used the word ra, bad, at all. Everything has been toiv. The whole world of facade has been pretending everything is good. Im al ha-melech toiv, if it's good for the king, yikosi, we should write la. You should write genocide. I mean, that's good, right? You're good, right? Everything's ketoiv lev ha-melech. It's as if everything's good. The whole thing has been putting everything in the word good. It's all, as we've seen, every state of mind of Achashverosh has been prefixed ka. It's like he's happy. It's like he sits comfortably on his throne. It's like he's got over Vashti and calmed down. Nothing's real. So what's she doing? And this, I think it's Rabbi Weinberg's own chiddush, but it's beautiful, says, is exactly what she's doing. What she's saying is, can you stop playing games? Do you not know that I know? I know that you know, and you know that I know. We all know, we each know that it's you. Can you stop playing games for 1 minute and deal with truth and reality? You see, if you realize that, why? Because so long as you're in the world of games and masks, I can't win. The Jewish people can't even survive. And there's no way out of this. You'll find some compromise that will look good here and look good there and look bad here and bad there. But do you understand the Ahasuerus that you're playing games and I know you're playing games? Can you start to be real for one moment? And suddenly we see through the last few psukim what she's been saying. I am not in this Ahasuerus for my good. For the first time, I want you to hear from somebody who cares about what's your good. If I'm favor in your eyes, but only if it's good for you. Save me, save my people. Because Ahasuerus, I actually care about you and this is not good for you. You have been being manipulated. Your games you're playing to please everybody have ended up in the world of your insecurities. You have been manipulated. Somebody has planned to use you to kill all of us in a way that destroys you. Do you understand that all your little games have been manipulated for your own destruction? Who is this? Ahasuerus, can you stop playing games? You allowed this to happen. Okay, the real villain here is Haman. But can you stop the games for 1 minute and deal with reality? Because if you can, you might actually discover what is good for you and learn to see the difference in what's good for you versus people manipulating you. And if you can come face to face, if you can come face to face with reality, then we might have a chance of being saved. In your bubbles of illusion, we have no chance of being saved. But if you can come face to face with reality, then maybe the Jewish people can be saved. And incredibly, that's what happens. Look at the reaction. That looking him in the eye, this whole conversation has shaken him. Because now Ahasuerus does something he never, ever does any other time. The king got up in his anger. Amazing. He's gone out alone for the first time in the Megillah. Every other time that he's dealt with anything, he's called the Yoidei Dasvadin, he's called the legal team. He's called the Yoidei Itin, the media team. He's called everybody. He's never made a decision by himself the entire Megillah. How, what to do with Vashti? Memuchan, Haman decided. Appointing a new, that was the Naris HaMelech, that was the lads of the king that decided that. Rewarding Mordechai, Haman decided that. Every decision has been made by other people. And he's going to walk out by himself for the first time in the whole Megillah. El Ginas Abisan, he goes out into the garden of the house. The hints of the Garden of Eden are just so powerful here, but I'm not going to be able to have time to go through them all here. Haman stood to plea for his life from Esther the queen. He's also relating to her now as Esther the queen. Ki ra, because he saw, ki chol so'elav hara, that the evil had now really come against him. Me'es ha'melech, from the king. Now we begin to understand the power of the previous chapter. Had Haman been open to the fact that history could go in any direction and God is driving it in any possible way, he would have sat at this point and said, Ahasuerus, 1 second, I never knew. I didn't realize. Let's, you know, she said this slavery thing. Let's maybe compromise on it. But he couldn't because chapter 6 has occurred in the meantime. And he has been shell-shocked by this whole experience of convinced he's on an upward trajectory, convinced he's in control of the world. And when it comes shattering down and his wife says in Mizera Yehuda, if this is a Jew, forget it. History maybe has a destiny and purpose after all, and maybe we're destined to be destroyed. And the last words he hears is, if it's a Jew. And the next words he hears from Esther is, I'm a Jew, right? My people are in trouble. It's Haman Arazel is trying to kill us all. And the king is now furious. And he's just, that's it. It's panic. He's got to put himself into, the only solution is get the Jew to be on his side. That's what, that whole chapter 6 makes him malfunction over here. And now he turns to desperately try to do anything to win Esther over. And what does he do? And the Gemara says, at this moment, the Malachim are coming, the angels are coming and pretending to smash everything up of Ahasuerus and dressed as the Haman company. And of course, what that means is, because as the Rambam points out, you don't encounter Malach if you're not a Navi, you're not a prophet. It means that they're playing, his brain is suddenly seeing in front of him how everything Haman's been doing has been about his destruction. He killed my first wife, right? He wanted to kill the guy who spoke, well, we're going to get there in a minute, but I heard the way he wanted to usurp me and make me king. He wanted to kill all the Jewish people, even though they could be my loyal servants. He wants to kill the queen. I mean, this man is just, we've been working together. I've been promoting him and he's been undermining me, manipulating me at every stage in the game. And I've been allowing it because I've been vulnerable, because I've been trying to control the world by my games and my masks and my illusions and my delusions and all the stuff. And it's all hitting him now from every angle. Okay, now he comes back in. The king comes back from the garden of the house, into the place where the wine was. Now Haman in his desperation tries everything. He falls on the bed. Esther was on it. And the king says, well, you want to conquer the queen, as it were, right? You want to take her over from me, with me in the house? Haman's like, no, but you misunderstood. The word comes out from the mouth of the king. Haman just gives up. His face falls. At that moment, everyone can see where this is going, and suddenly they want to jump in. And Harvoina, he knows Haman's now in trouble, but his fate is not yet sealed. Harvoina, one of the officers, one of the eunuchs, comes before the king. Now there's a tree been made, a gallows been made by Haman, who's against Mordechai. Not any old Mordechai, the Mordechai who saved the king's life. And it's Oymid Beveis Haman. It's standing in the house of Haman. Gavoya Hamishim Amma, 50 Amma's high. Vayoyma Malach Tulu Alav. The king says, that's it. Hang him on it. Vayisru as Haman. And they hung Haman Al Ha'et on the tree. Asher Heichin, that he had prepared. Le Mordechai for Mordechai. Remember earlier, was the Heichin Loi prepared for him? Everything Haman prepared for Mordechai now happens to him. It turns out that the ultimate Heichin, the ultimate prepared, is he's prepared his own destruction. Haman is running the world, pulling every lever, and everything he's pulled has conspired to destroy him. He was the one who, through his own decree, gets a death penalty. Let's just finish the pasuk. The anger of the king calms down. We'll come back to that. It's Haman. Haman has all the power. No one has power but Haman. Haman has made every major decision from the beginning of the story till now. He decided to get rid of Vashti and put in place Ru'usa Tova Mena, the colleague who's better than her, which gets Esther in place. He's the one who's decided to restructure the constitution and the economy and everything. Kill the Jews, reward Mordechai. He's made every decision, build the gallows. And in a world where evil is fully in charge of the world and nothing else can get in its way, in such a world, he's ended up dead. How's he dead? Because of his own decree. His decree killed him. His decree to kill the Jews inadvertently was a decree to kill the queen. The only crime Haman could still commit was treason. And he's committed it. But who put a Jewish queen there in the first place? Haman. Memuchan, the one who is prepared, exactly the pasuk, the word used here. The one who prepared says this, get rid of Vashti and replace her with Malchusa, replace her queenship. But Re'usa Tova Memena, the echo back to the old, how Shaul HaMelech lost his kingship. Inadvertently, Haman had put his great-great-granddaughter back, Esther Malka. He's put, by pulling one lever, he's put a Jewish queen in place. Pulling another lever, he's made a decree to kill her. The only thing he needed to do was build the gallows. And in fact, he built the very, very gallows that he's hanged on. He basically walked up there and hanged himself. He's pulling every lever of power and it's conspiring to destroy him, and in doing so, to reveal Hashem. And you see, when good reveals Hashem, or when Hashem himself does a miracle and reveals Hashem, it reveals that good is more powerful than evil, that Hashem is more powerful than darkness. But when even evil can in the short term do horrific things, but in the long run, by pulling every lever, destroys itself and reveals Hashem, it reveals Ein Oid Mulvado, there is nothing but Hashem. Behind everything in the world, a controlled experiment, an evil run history. In the short run, it can do horrifically terrible things. But in the long run, it must destroy itself and reveal Hashem. And reveal there's nothing but Hashem. And this is the beginning of an understanding we saw in the very first time we learned together as to why it is that Megillas Esther would outlast all the other books of Nach. Because it's the revelation of the end of history, Ein Oid Mulvado, when the whole story of history comes together and we see how everything was revealing Hashem. It's the Yom Tov that will outlast all the others, because it is the Yom Tov that in its essence is Olam Haba, the future world when everything has come together. Now the story's not finished, but listen to the final words of this chapter. the anger of the king has calmed down. The first time in the entire Megillah that a state of mind of the king is phrased without the prefix ka. It's not like the anger of the king calmed down, like it was in the second chapter. It's not like the king was happy or like he's sitting comfortably. He's actually finally calmed down. And of course, the deepest hints are the chamas hamelach, the anger of the real king, of Hashem has now calmed down. Behind the scenes, Hashem has been pushing things because he needed to punish Haman. But he's engineered it so that Haman punished himself. Haman set himself up to take Mordechai around the whole day. Haman set himself up to come in over the Chavirosh, mourning and disgrace. Haman set his own belief system up so that he was convinced he's going to lose. Haman set up the Jewish queen. Haman set up the gallows. Haman set up everything. And that's been the Chamas HaMelech driving him to his destruction subtly. And now it's calmed down. But of course, remember, Haman min HaTorah minayin, we saw the Gemara in Chulin. Where is Haman in the Torah? Where's the root of Haman? Hamin ha'eis ha'sheti v'sicha levilti ha'chol mimen ha'chalta. In the garden of the king, exactly where all this happened, in the Garden of Eden, Haman is rooted. The fruit that came off the tree, the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, the fruit that came off the tree gave confusion to humanity, made everything a game. Where are you, says Hashem? I'm hiding. Ahasuerus is hiding. The fruit that came off the tree has now gone back on. Haman has been hung back on the tree. And now we can transcend the tree of knowledge. And that's, of course, one of the halachos of Purim. Chayav inish libesumei adaleyada bein arahal Haman abarach Mordechai. A person's obligated to drink until they cannot, they go beyond the knowledge, beyond the tree of das, the confusion of good and bad, and they realize it doesn't matter whether you choose the pathway of Mordechai and it gets blessed or the pathway of Haman and it gets cursed. Either way, Hashem is revealed. Einod Mavada is nothing but Hashem. And this is really where we got to at this stage. Amazingly enough, you could think, like, we should just stop the story here. But actually, the story is not finished because at this point, the Jewish people have not yet been saved. But we have a revelation of Einod Mavada is nothing but Hashem. A revelation of where the Purim story is going. And that's already enough for us to stop here. I hope this has been helpful for people. I apologize, it was a little bit abbreviated. But Mietz Hashem, it's given us enough of a glimpse into some of the beautiful depths of this seventh chapter. And I hope, Bez Hashem, we can join together next week.